Dr. Brass Stocks, this is Lisa Gill. You are on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
Good. First of all, just let me say I normally like to hear when you're on because I find that you are, you know, fair on what you say and how you put forward yourself. And also, I have no problem with you taking some time when you start the program to, you know, give your thoughts before you get into the callers and all of that. That is your prerogative, and I personally have no problem with it at all. Obviously, other people seem to have a problem with a lot of things whenever they call or choose to call there. Because instead of giving constructive criticism, they just like to criticize. But that is the nature of that particular person. And I'm sure you know that. And I liked how you handled that individual because he needs to be put in his place for a lot of different reasons. Because he talks and without any kind of common sense, to be quite honest. And as a person, you don't really waste your time with. You just let him talk. Then you pray that he finish and move on to somebody that has something more profitable to offer to the program.
So moving him aside, what is your thoughts?
Right.
What are your contributions for today?
My contribution, which will be very short, we have a lot of caller, as simple as this. I agree to a certain extent with what you were just saying to the young lady who goes by the nickname on the sighting. How to put this to you? When you are involved in a battle, if you want to be victorious in your battle, it is not only how one perceives the battle, it's how one elevates and put forward themselves in the battle and whom you are in the battle with. So if one person wants to jump in a hole, that doesn't mean that I must join them in that effort and jump in the same hole as them. Mm-hmm. You go to higher ground.
Okay.
You move yourself on a different level. You don't drop yourself to the same level in them. I'm saying that to say this. Now, Sunday night, we, the Democratic Labor Party, had our launch of candidates. And some things were said. Some I agreed with, some I didn't agree with, because I believe if you want to put your case forward to the public at large, there we always should, as Obama's wife said, if they go lower, you go higher. And that should be our mantra, our precept, what we should be living by.
But you weren't the strategist.
Just let me make this point, madam. So, I'm trying to put this in a way so I won't offend nobody. What you said, how you replied to Miss Undecided, I have no problem with, because yes, you should not say certain things about a person's personal character. That is their life, how you choose to carry yourself, whatever you choose to do with your life, that is your personal thing. My thing is that we stick to the facts. We concentrate and remain focused, have a vision tunnel, because we have a goal to achieve. And our main goal and objective, and we will achieve it, is to resume governance, not power, to rescue Barbados.
Why should Barbados want rescuing?
In a brief second. That is our goal. Other people have goals. Their goal is to get power. It's not about being prime minister. It's not about being whether he or she. And just to put this in as a footnote, I have no problem male or female being prime minister. We had some we had some great female prime ministers in times gone by. Right? It's not about being that. It's about what you bring to the table, how you perceive yourself and how you are perceived by internally and externally by your peers and people on the outside of the fence. Hence, therefore, my dear lady, if one cannot present oneself in such a manner that would bring such conviction on the inhabitants, right? How, therefore, you expect to want to come now with a lot of tactics? Now, we talked about, quickly, we talked about what was said by the particular minister whom you don't wish to name, and I know who you mean. Okay, we would not call the esteemed comrade's name, okay? But you also must remember, I don't know if you saw a video that was circulating here lately of something that is worthy of the Royal Barbados Police Force looking into. No, I'm not saying two wrongs is make a right, because I like to be fair, as I said before. All right, I'm not going to sit here because...
So when you say two wrongs don't make a right, which wrong are you speaking of? You said two wrongs don't make a right. Which wrong are you speaking of?
I'm not going to sit here and say two wrongs that don't make a right, which meaning that you, because I see you doing wrong, that means I can join in the collude with you. As I said earlier, right, when them go along, we should always maintain a certain level, and the Democratic Labour Party has always maintained a certain level. Now, you would argue that, and you would tell me, now, what about the other night? I will not argue that with you, because when you're wrong, you're wrong. When you're right, you are right, and I have always tried to be fair. Okay?
So are you admitting in your lack of using the words... Are you admitting that your party, because I'm not finished.
Mm-hmm.
Are you admitting that your party's behavior on Sunday night was inexcusable?
Yes, it wasn't right.
Okay.
Yes. Like I said, I like to be fair. But, don't jump and do backflips now. All right.
Because
I know on this rail, not you particularly.
I'm merely trying to understand your rationale.
I'm well aware on the VOB program, particular people.
But don't worry about the people, as I told you. Let us focus on what your contribution is.
I'm just generalizing. Let me finish, ma'am. I'm just generalizing. I'm not going to be inflammatory or throw stones, right? That is not my style, all right? I like to talk facts, because we here, that's why we have a facts program going on within the bowels of the Democratic Labour Party. We bring facts. We don't bring fiction. Yes, mistakes were made along the way. Yes, hard choices have to be made. But when one is in a particular realm, say you are a manager, you own a place, employees or whoever you do may not always be happy with the choices. Sometimes choices have to be made. Choices have to be made that a lot of people, even with that work with you, may not be happy with. Okay? But at the end of the day, we are here to achieve one goal. And that one goal is for the betterment. For the landscape of Barbados.
I thought you told me your one goal was winning elections.
No, our one goal is to continue.
And rescue the country.
Not ready to serve, to continue to serve. A lot of people have this thing going about they're ready to serve. Now, I don't want to be jumping all over the place. I want to make my point quickly and then I go because I don't want to.
The point is well made. I think the point is well made.
We had a video circulating with certain materials belonging to the Democratic Labour Party being burnt, a particular minister's placard was being burnt by whoever the hand of the, obviously it was a male hand. I can't speculate. I can't say if it's B, A, X, X, or Y. But, because as it was pointed out to me, they have people that maybe neither the side of the divide will look to cause further friction. They would be made to understand that both the major parties have dislikes, not personal dislikes, but dislikes for whatever reason pertaining to the politics of inclusion. Right? And they would like to fester that and they would seek to cause more friction than what is already there. They're already bringing a cam to the fire that is already being brewing. So they have people like that. And then on the other side of the coin, they have particular people, and they will not go any further, that will look to cause strife. We had you talk about what happened at the major launch of the meeting. We had two individuals that had to be subsequently removed for disrespecting the PM using profanity words. Okay? But as I said, and I will repeat again to you, because you're a very intelligent young woman, two wrongs don't make a right.
Okay. I think that was a decent... I like when we have persons who have different perspectives can comfortably share their ideas and their perspectives free and fair. And I thought that he shared his perspective. He was very clear to say that he, as a member of the Democratic Liberal Party, he agreed that behavior was inexcusable. But he also went on to talk about some challenges that they experienced at the launch. This is Down to Brass Tacks. One of the things that I was thinking about recently was the how do persons in varying parties, how do they think about the electorate? And, you know, what are their views and what do they focus on? And I'm beginning to realize this word, the masses, we don't take it serious, you know. It's just really the majority of people and what the sentiment is and what they believe in. So if your strategy says, we're going to rile them up, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then another strategy says one thing, I think that is what informs some of the decisions that we see throughout the last few sets of elections that we've seen. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good day to you, Ms. Gale.
Good day, sir.
I want to congratulate you on your trip overseas, the experience, and I hope that you gain what I would consider to be some knowledge on what you went for.
Thank you.
I want to be very fair, and I'm going to be fair. The last caller talked about being fair, but somewhere along the line, I have a strong liking for Miss Undecided for some of the comments that she made, but she was off this morning. She was completely off. I call what has happened the other night a continuation of a behavior pattern of a group of people who have no respect for not only man or woman, but for the masses that you just talked about. And I say this without being scared, because you ever heard the saying about pump beddings? You know, people used to talk about pump beddings.
Never heard it.
You never hear? Mm-hmm. When people wash the mouth on you, you used to call pump. I am pump beddings. They could wash the mouth on me because they can talk the truth, right?
Okay.
If you consider what has taken place in Parliament and bring it to the platform of up by the stadium, there's no wonder that Mr. Ennis seems to be suffering now the consequence, because he's disassociated himself with what took place the other night. He has this, it's in the press. Mm-hmm. So here it is, you have a parliament.
You're going real far, Matt, though.
I'm showing you behavior pattern. Mm-hmm. You have a parliament where a senior minister in this country talk about cracking heads. You have a senior minister talk about blood flowing on the street. So what do you expect if you hear a minister come? You hear about ball pooch chat. You hear about that. So here is a pattern that comes from a body of people that should know better.
Okay. So, yes, you believe that this is a normal pattern and that's their behavior.
It's a normal pattern.
Okay.
I can go beyond.
Let's move on from there.
Right. I'm saying that this is a time that people want to hear the do's and the don'ts. This is a time that people want to hear the mistakes you made and how you intend to correct them. This is a time that, as far as I'm concerned, that they have made so many mistakes, even down to the very launch the other night. They're not having a relaunch. So they didn't get off the pad yet.
There's a relaunch?
Well, they're launching tonight. But they added the newspaper on Sunday to tell you of a launch.
Introduction of
read the strip. Go back to the newspaper. Read the strip, the bottom strip of the ad in the newspaper, and you're going to see the word launch. So I am of the opinion that they did not get off the ground on Sunday night.
So let me tell you something, deliberately stopping you there. A lot of us have come down on the behavior, including myself, and the what I call a failed strategy and a missed opportunity on Sunday night.
I'm in the studio, say that he disassociated himself. Let's be fair.
So a lot of us have come down on that, but let us not spend too much time. Today is Wednesday now.
Ms. Gill?
We can talk then about the, what I thought, I mean, a lot of people aren't talking about it, but I thought it was a masterful display of a launch on the first night.
No, Ms. Gill, I've been around politics long enough. Right? I've seen the movement of the Democratic Liberal Party in better
conditions. I ain't talking about the Democratic Liberal Party.
What?
I'm talking about the Barbados Liberal Party. The point I'm making to you is that here we are saying they spent an entire night trying to decry a woman, using despicable language, you know, being very disrespectful, etc. We agree on that point. But let us compare that with the other strategy now, which is of the Barbados Liberal Party, where they brought out the stalwarts, and some of the stalwarts, because I'm sure there are many more, yeah. You know.
You're right up my street. You're right up my street.
So I'm saying, let the discussion move away
from all of that.
To be honest, you know, we're giving too much attention where attention needs not be.
I am moving on.
Okay.
I told you I named Pombedins. Let them attack me, right?
Pointed.
I saw when the Barbados Liberal Party launched their meeting the other night. A lot of entrepreneurs had an opportunity to make a dollar. Several people took the exercise, and I see this as an exercise for prosperity. No, I also heard on the platform of the Barbados Liberal Party, and I'm going to be sentimental and biased, where they will take us, what is expected. And one of the things that I'm very impressed with is this $225 every 2 weeks for non-contributory pension. That will be talked about. So let's look at what took place the other night. And I'd like to be fair. Like the last caller who say he's a Democrat and he'd like to be fair. I'm associated with the Barbados Liberal Party. I'd like to be fair. We want to hear why it is that up to now we have not had a statement, and it said 100 days. 100 days, we have not had a statement on Four Seasons. What has happened to Four Seasons? We want to hear what is the position as far as, and I'm being fair, what is the position as far as the Hilton Hotel is concerned? Has it been sold or not been sold? We want to hear what was told to us in their campaign, that all the civil servants will get a chance to borrow money to buy vehicles. Nothing is that said. We want to understand what has happened to their housing plan. You know, these are things that they have brought to us. These are things that they have said to us back in 2013 with an understanding that come 2018, they would have said, look, here is our promises and performance. They have no performance. They had promises. I am of the opinion that the Barbados Liberal Party should be given an opportunity this time around to put their promises into performance. They've done it before. I'm of the opinion that somewhere along the line, and I agree with you, Ms. Gill, that this is a time for serious discussion for the movement of Barbados forward. And I'm calling on the integrity group, whether it be the Barbados Liberal Party's platform, whether it be the Democratic Liberal Party's platform, or whether it be the Independence platform, that you do what you said you would do. Ball those people out. All those people who misbehaved themselves on the platforms of Barbados in this 2018 election.
You made some good contributions, I think. Fair, coming on the heels of the previous caller. We heard one person from the Democratic Liberal Party and one person from the Barbados Liberal Party, and they articulate their views. So, interesting. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning.
Morning.
Ms. Gill?
Yes, good morning.
I am so glad that you ain't, and God brought you back. Seriously?
Isn't he a good God?
I'm so glad to have my lady moderator back again. God bless you.
Oh,
now, I don't want... Well, I was trying to get in ever since, and then a lot of callers called in. I got cut out, and I called back because I want to make some points that I think are valid. Now, I don't want to go over and over because my points have things in it about what the people said. No, Miss Gale, we have a prime minister and the government is in charge now because they're still in power.
Yes.
We have an opposition. Respect is due to both. Mm-hmm. Don't you agree?
Agreed.
And, I mean, even if they had rhetorics and so on before, coming down to this point, don't you think that they should be more respectful if they're looking to get into, to win votes?
Yeah, no, it was a failed strategy, in my view.
Listen to me. Now, I believe, I've went to the launch of the, I've never seen Miss Gale, I don't know if you was here or if you was there, but I've never seen nothing like this in my life. We have to put thumbs up for the Barbados Labour Party. I've never seen nothing, and I believe the Democratic has a bit of jealousy because of that.
Possibly.
Because it was something out of this world. It was awesome. She had people praying. The minister, our opposition leader, had she don't forgot get God in nothing. And I would say Miss Smartley is very humble. She is strong and courageous. She's bold and she's committed and she cares for Barbados. A lot of people say Miss Smartley wants power, but I keep telling them Miss Smartley doesn't want any power. She has it already. She has, when I say she has it, she has what she's wanted. But the lady feels in her heart so bad for what's happening to her island that she loves and the people that she loves dearly. This is what is making her, you know, trying to get on with the work. And, I mean, I am surprised at the Prime Minister, because in yesterday's Advocate, here's what he's saying on page one. Mr. Stewart and PM Reddy, Stewart Reddy. The Prime Minister, and while he is aware that the DLP has come under attack for statements made on the platform during the launch, he said that is always a good sign. How could that be a good sign? A lady said she's 24 years and she spoke, I think it was on the calling program on Monday, to Mr. Ellis. She said when she passed and she heard what was going on, she said, oh no, this is not good enough. How can they expect the young people now to come out? You would expect this kind of behavior, especially at a time you want the young people to vote for you. You say you want to get back in government. But, Ms. Gill, why would they want to get back in government?
It was a misstep. No. I can't answer you as to why they would want to get into government.
But, Ms. Gill.
Yes.
Yes.
What I would say is the strategy to go for, I guess people say they're going for the juggler or they're going for the leader or they're dealing with leadership. A couple of them mentioned that tonight is about Miss Smartley. They did not, you know, they didn't hide it in any way. It was very overt.
And I mean,
it was a missed opportunity.
Mr. Ellis say, but I didn't hear, but some of my friends told me how they took on Miss Smartley. And Mr. Ellis say that when the people call in trying to get him to be in their side, he said, but no, this isn't good enough. We mean one after the other. So many issues in Barbados needs. Look at Mr. Lowe.
And they're the current stewards of the country. So they should have been able to do, even if they did two presentations on just a capsule of what took place in the last 5 or 10 years, based on how long they want to go back. Where are we going? But don't come and tell me that we can talk about that on another day. You had the ample opportunity where you had the audience, the people were listening to you, you know. So I agree with you, you know. I agree with everything you've said. So thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Yes, a very good morning, Ms. Gill.
Morning, sir.
Yes, I'm just going to make a few statements. First, concerning like everyone else at what happened at the stadium, I think it's very appalling. And I call on the National Organization of Women to give a statement. That's far much on that. Mm-hmm. Two, I think that observers from the Organization of American States and also from the CARICOM Secretariat should be in Barbados to observe our elections and be based at the various polling stations. That's all as far as I say on that. But what my substantial point today, my substantial point today is, and for your producer, is an article on the Weekend Nation dated the 27th of April, Friday, Weekend Nation on page 16, where it says Nation Probe. And there's some statements, right? No known problem, but no solution. It's written by Mr. Carlos Atwell. Mm-hmm. And it goes on, it purports about statements made from the Chief Education Officer, Deputy Chief Education Officer Joy Allison, mm-hmm. pertaining to teacher absenteeism. I want to know.
What absenteeism? Teacher absenteeism, yes.
Yes, if I'm finding great difficulty because teachers are not the only civil servants, public servants that are absent, and this is a pattern that's widespread in every shape, form, or fashion through the civil service. I take therefore call to question the statements made by Ms. Joy Allison, who states, and I'm quoting from the article on page 16 of what I made previous reference to. Mm-hmm. Ms. Allison stood vacant in the nation. Isolated incidents of teachers becoming sick were the norm, and she was unaware of any major widespread issues within the teacher with teacher absenteeism. And that's public knowledge and also a matter for the public record. Now, that statement having been made, I think I'm getting reports that certain teachers are being investigated for the absenteeism. Mm-hmm. which is unfair, said allegations. And if the statement is made for the public record, I hope that if the good Honorable Mia Motley is elected, and she's a former educational minister, that she will, with all dispatch, right, investigate this said matter and the issues, any major allegations within the Ministry of Education, because this is very appalling. You have a whole public service, and teachers should not be made scapegoat. No specific individual teachers should be targeted with regards of male political football, teacher absenteeism. I think it's a witch hunt, and in law, we know witches don't exist. A witch hunt does not exist because there are no witches.
But so you admit though. Let me understand what you're saying. You admit that absenteeism in the education system is a challenge, and that's what I gather.
And you want simple public service.
Before we go there, we're speaking specifically to teachers because Ms. Joy Adamson could only speak to teachers. She's deputy chief education officer. She can't speak to the entire public service.
Right, that's a statement. That's right. Her statement said that there's no major issues with teacher absenteeism. That's a statement.
Oh, she's disagreeing with the newspaper. Right, I'm trying to understand. She said that there is no problem with teacher absenteeism, or that there is?
There is no.
Right, and who's saying that there is?
There is an article on that same page where absent teachers anger parents and so forth. So that is at the top of the Charles Axwell and Nature Probe, and then at the bottom,
there's
some sort of movement with parents about it. Okay,
but then you went on to say a political football. Who is using this as a political football?
Where the possibility to get a teacher, because I find it distasteful.
No, but it can only be. I'm trying to.
I find it distasteful that teachers who give up the all or give up the best, is reasonable that at some point in time they will be sick.
I don't disagree with you. I understand. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I'm just trying to grasp how you came to the conclusion that the comment, the first article, is an article intended to be used as a. To use teachers as a political football. I'm just asking you that because
it doesn't make reference to any other public service. And teachers are a professional body. Most of them are college and university educated within the public service.
So where the politics comes in?
Politics has to do not just with university in a broad sense, but has to do with power. And I'm saying, why are teachers specifically being mentioned when they're other public officers? That's the difficulty I have. And I'm asking the question, is it some sort of political football, and is there a witch hunt? I'm raising those questions.
I hear what you mean. Okay.
So I want to get this bottom, because it seems to be unreasonable and untenable, because teachers give up their best to give lessons, to give lunch money. Yes. There are a lot of things that go unmentioned, and I find it totally distasteful. So the good Honorable Mia Motley is elected, and she was a former education minister, that she looks to see if there's been any vindictiveness or victimizations of any teacher within the system.
All right, thanks for that. I think I would underscore your second last point, the penultimate point about the value and role that teachers play. And we have a lot of teachers who sometimes are the second mother, or sometimes the only mother. They are the sometimes provider, they are sometimes the caretaker. They do a lot for our children, so there's significant value in that part. I wasn't sure that I mapped all of what you put together there in relation to it being used as a political football, because if there's a discussion on teachers, there's a discussion on teachers, and there's nothing wrong with singling out a specific set within the public service to speak to an issue. So that one was a little ticklish for me. Down to brass tacks, you are on the ear. Good morning. Down to brass tacks.
Morning.
Good morning.
I can't hear at all.
I can hear you well. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes. What I'm calling about, you see, I am an elderly lady. Mm-hmm. I live here in the Pine. I suffer dizziness and blackouts and a slow heartbeat. I have dark circles underneath my eyes from the lack of sleep because of those kites. These people stay cut the kites. They are men. Take out the kites at night and come attack on them on mornings like if they're sheep.
It's not a joke, you know. It's a serious matter.
Eh?
It's not. I laughed, but it's not a joke. It's a very serious matter. I suffer from the experience as well. Sometimes 2 months straight, every single night, there's this set of kites.
I need my sleep. town, he like stop past the hair and he find they're quite so stuck up there from all day long, all night long. And there are a lot of elderly people living this parish. This what do you call it? Any point.
Yes. Right?
And I would like the police to do something about it. If I tell them it is on like stop past, they can come right now and see at least one still stuck out there. It is unfair. It is irresponsible of these people. They're selfish.
They're selfish. You're right. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand.
Fully agree with you.
Okay, season finished. Let it go. You see, I put up with it during the season, but no, I can't do it no longer.
Have you ever called to hear what?
If you ever call the police, they think it is trifling foolishness.
No. I'm asking you. Have you ever called?
Last year I called.
Right, and what was your response?
Nothing was done. This year, the same thing going on. But I need my sleep. I have dark circles around. You think that I'm a raccoon then, if you see dark circles around my eyes, running lack of sleep.
Yes.
You understand?
Understood.
I need something to be done about it.
Understood. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. And I'm sure, based on this discussion on here, there are a couple persons who would identify with that challenge of having persons who, you know, stake out kites for some what reason. I don't get it, but some people say there's a thrill that they get just to have, you know. So yes, I'm hearing this is Dr. Brastax. Are you on the air?
Yes. Good afternoon. Well, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay, can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you clearly.
Oh, terrific. Good.
Just before you speak, there's a WhatsApper that says that they're also male teachers and they're also father figures too. And I would have mentioned just prior to the break that we had a lot of teachers who mother children, and indeed they are male teachers, so it was an oversight on my part. So thank you for that correction. You're on the air, sir.
Yeah, I really want to back up something that which Mr. Ellis said to a caller inquiring what Ms. Mary said something last week. But before that, I'm glad you mentioned Gaza in your preamble.
Mm-hmm.
You know when they had the protest over the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, St. Louis, you know that a lot of the young protesters, they were in contact with the people, with the youngsters in Gaza.
That was 2016.
Yeah, it was on the BBC.
Yeah,
the BBC carried it live, and they were in contact with it because they experienced the same atrocities in Gaza as they do. Really. And at that time, a 93-year-old Holocaust survivor had told the BBC that the police force in Ferguson had been trained by the Israelis, and they tried to get off the air as soon as possible. But the woman was very persistent. But she said a lot of atrocities in her lifetime. But I hope that some of your high-level contacts is a person like the former minister, Dame Carol Kidd from Papua New Guinea, who said that perhaps you can get in mind the colonial slave masses, nobody would have gone in there and changed a word from dowry to bright price, which has brought a lot of sorrow to women in Papua New Guinea up to this day. Because the dowry was supposed, she was on the BBC, she told about it. That's what it did. The dowry was supposed to be for the security of women, and they went in there and they changed it. This is a single word, Mr. Brock said about language. Single word. To bright price, and to this day they've objectified women and admitted that things took to be bought. Also, I hope the State Department would have explained to you why it is that the French would have gone into Africa and the Middle East and put in a law which says that a woman, a girl who gets raped, supposed to marry the rapist and coast it in the under the guise of honor.
Religion.
Yeah.
It was more religion. It was more religion that if you lie with a woman, she should and would be your wife.
No, it's a French colonial law. It was on the BBC. That was a French. It was never African law. Any religion, neither was it in the Middle East.
And what informed it? The law.
Huh?
What informed the law? It wasn't the custom and practice of the country through religion.
That's what they used to do in France. They used to do it in France, so they put it all over Africa. No, the Africans are getting rid of it. And the people in the Middle East are getting rid of all that was on the BBC as well. And it shocked a lot of people believe that it was actually African and Middle Eastern, but it wasn't. It was a 200-year-old French colonial law which they're not getting rid of. They're getting rid of it in Turkey and all those kind of places also, because it was planted there by the French. And the people there lost that, but they would never tell you certain things at least get back to the department. There's even a case right now I'm not sure if you're aware. Are you aware of the fact that it is not against the law to marry a 12-year-old girl in the United States? Are you aware of that?
It's not all states, in some states.
There are 20 states, in 20 states.
Yeah, not all.
And 20
the
states.
The age is not defined.
And there was a very, no, but even the states where you said it's illegal, they actually turned a blind eye. And there was one particular case which actually shocked a journalist who broke a story about that. She said there was one person from the Breakaway Mormons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who had about 15 or 20 different wives. A lot of them were 12 years
younger,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right, but they said that the people around the neighborhood knew it, the people around that area knew it. But the reason that they gave for not reporting it is because the children had blonde hair and blue eyes, and that really shocked. They said, in this day of age, that is hit the stuff.
Yeah, actually I saw, it wasn't a documentary, but it was something I saw on Facebook a couple of months ago with this, and I believe it was staged, it cannot be real, with this 12-year-old about to be married to a guy who was 56 years old, and everybody kept asking him, what is your age, what is your age, and asked her, what is her age, poor little girl, 12 years old, and they asked, where are you getting married, he said, she wants to, and then you ask her a question, she couldn't even answer, and then they were shocked that so much was happening around them. She was dressed in a wedding dress. He was dressed in his suit. There was a cameraman and everything. And people were just walking by like normal, not feeling incensed and offended by what was about to take place until somebody came and grabbed her and said, no, you will not marry him. It was very interesting. For some reason, I think it was staged, but it was ready to bring attention. And it was in the U.S. as well. It was ready to bring attention to, you know, I don't even know the word for it because it, it's another disgusting scenario. Anything else to add here? This is Dr. Brass Stats. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, I want to say something on your program, which is, I want to say to the people, it's just a statement, right? I want to say that the Democratic Labor Party,
the same way how we don't want any mudslinging, we still also have to manage what we say about the...
Start your soca engines and rev it up with Page and Soca Royalty.
We still have to manage what we say about these, all of the candidates who are being fielded. We can't for sure in any way accept any commentary that is going to be negative. If we don't want the Democratic Labour Party to say anything negative about the Barbados Labour Party or about any of the other parties, likewise, we can't accept any comment that suggests anything negative about them either. So if we don't want mudslinging on the platform, we don't want it on the call-in programs either. So we have to manage what we say. We have to respect these people who are presenting themselves as potential leaders. That's my thought. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. Can you hear me?
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Well, thanks.
Ma'am, when I saw what happened at the meeting the other night, I said to myself, you know, that it is no wonder that this country is in the state that it is. I thought for one moment that the Prime Minister would have... I know people say he doesn't get involved in things. But I thought because of the distasteful manner that the meeting had gone down that he would have arisen from his chair and he would have tapped the speaker on his shoulder and said, no, mm-hmm. It has gone a bit too far. But that never happened. Mm. But one of the major speakers that shocked me was the Minister of Finance. Mm. I mean, the Waterworks Minister, he was in a world by himself. But the Minister of Finance, ma'am, for him to look at the supporters of the Barbados Labour Party and refer to them as musty people was a shock to me. And this is the reason why. This is the Minister of Finance that has to meet from time to time with members of a large private sector that he is calling on to assist with the economy of Barbados. And it is well known that a large percentage of the private sector are supporters of the Barbados Labour Party.
Oh, it is?
Pardon me?
It is?
It is. It is known. It is widely known. I can name a whole set of them who own businesses in Barbados and are supporters of the Barbados Labour Party.
Hmm.
And how can you, as a minister of finance, a minister who has performed so poorly, refer to the people, the supporters of the Barbados Labour Party, as musty people? I mean, I was shocked.
All right, it was distasteful. I mean, I find
Mom, I the other issue I just want to speak upon is the term the People's Army.
Okay.
When I see the Democratic Labour Party chose the term on the bus as the People's Army, certain ideas started fledging through my head, and I can just share 3 points with you for today as I leave. They are truly the People's Army, ma'am, because they have killed us with taxation over the last 10 years. They are truly the People's Army, ma'am, because they have wiped out some sections of the middle class of this society that were doing well before they came to office. Ma'am, they are truly the People's Army, finally, because they have killed the dreams and aspirations of this wonderful country. So I say to you, that is a fitting theme for the Democratic Labour Party, the People's Army, because they have killed us, our dreams, our children at UE, and their hopes and inspiration in more than one way. I thank you, ma'am.
This is Dr. Brass Stacks. Dr. Brass Stacks, you are on the air.
Good afternoon, Ms. Lisa.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Do you feel, would I be wrong if I see any person approaching me during this election campaign in yellow and I told him I am musty and stink? You feel I'd be wrong in doing that?
I don't think there's any excuse for, you know, using derogatory terms with people, whether it is in the political campaign, whether it is, you know, anywhere. we have to manage how we respond and treat people.
Well, to be honest, I will hope that people that believe in democracy in this country and should just brush off them people who have to come to you and yell. They don't know straight, I must say things, so we don't want to contaminate you. And just let them go the way. Because to be honest, this is real disgraceful. Thank you very much.
That was a short contribution, but interesting. Dr. Brastats.
Ms. Gill.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, ma'am. I want to welcome you back, like all the other people who have done so before me.
Thank you.
Just before you make my substantive contribution, I would want to say that I heard Darren Allen say before the campaign that the DIP is going to go into the gutter this year. So that tells this election. So that tells me where they're coming from. Anyway, I want to get on to more positive business. That bit of news I heard just now about the Guyanese offloading chickens and mosquito calls at high seas stole a part of what I wanted to speak about. I heard Mayor Motley spoke about introducing a Ministry of Maritime Affairs. And I want to say I am in total agreement with her. Let me tell you why. I think a Ministry of Maritime Affairs should draw in the Port Authority, the Fisheries Ministry. That should be dissolved and drawn under that new ministry. The fish markets, the Coast Guard. And indeed, I feel that there should be one port of entry for all boats coming to this country and not have two ports of entry, one like the taxi stand, one like that would be up with the taxi stand up by Nelson, and the other one that would be down in front, the Good CS Pharmacy down Broad Street. That's the closest of the two ports of entry. And I feel that is wrong. I feel that all boats coming to this country should come in the Bridgetown port and then they having cleared the authorities, then they tell the signal station and the customs, indeed customs, where they intend to go after leaving the port. And then they will be given a directive if they can or cannot go at the particular time they want to go. Because that's the way I know it used to be when it was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to add to that by saying this. If you're going to incorporate the Coast Guard, although they would tell me that the Coast Guard will come on in the Ministry of Defense and Security.
Has to.
Yeah. Well, I would want to say that if you can't get the Coast Guard into the maritime affairs, which I think they really ought to be, although they would have They will have to answer directly to the Ministry of Security. I think that they should be refitted in a way that they can go around this country and patrol right around this Barbados, because our coastline is very porous, and I can tell you that with authority. Our coastline is very porous, and we need Coast Guard boats that can go up in the east of Barbados, 200-300 miles up in there, chill out up in there, to stop the Taiwanese, the Japanese, the Chinese, and indeed any other people that come in to, you know, bring contraband into this country from going up in that part of the world and doing what they got to do, and the people that I just called, stop them people from getting up in there and ripping this country out of the bluefin and yellowfin tuna and then carrying back to Japan and China, selling them for $1 million. Of course, I heard on the BBC News the time they sold a tuna in Japan for $1 million, you know, and I couldn't believe it, but it really was true. So all I'm saying, Ms. Gale, to you is that I feel that that ministry would be a welcome one, and that it would tighten up around the coastline, mm-hmm. and that ministry would also, they would also incorporate in that ministry the coastal zone unit and anything as a matter of fact.
I was now about to ask you if, in the same breath, you support an increase of ministries, or if it is that you will be streamlining existing ministries, because given the cost cutting challenge that either administration will have. That is one. We don't want to hear that there are three more ministries than what we have existing right now.
Exactly.
It's not going to help Barbados.
But I am for streamlining okay. the ministries. Yes. And I think a lot of the marine affairs can be brought onto
that
one ministry that is specifically mm-hmm. with marine affairs.
Yeah, because there's also, as you may know, there's the whole discussion of making Bridgetown that, you know, kind of like the marina yacht and doing those things to advance the, you know, because there are a lot of cities, I mean, yeah, we are small, but there are a lot of cities that have far more commercial activity than ours does, you know, and if the plans that we have existing can be realized, because I saw the plans, some awesome plans for that yacht, for that marina, if they're realized, I think it can really, really cause some quick economic activity. But of course, we're talking a good set of years, because in order to build a marina, we're talking legislation, we're talking construction, we're talking a whole new place of happenings. Anything else? Or thank you. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. You're on the air.